'Tis the season for pomp and circumstance. Commencement ceremonies are scheduled at a number of University of Wisconsin campuses this weekend, where seniors will be getting their diplomas and meeting the real world. Do you remember your college graduation? The excitement, the fear, the freedom, the boring speeches? Well, they aren't all boring speeches, and we have proof of that this hour. Our guest is best-selling author Ann Patchett, who gave the commencement address at her alma mater, Sarah Lawrence College, in 2006. And her commencement speech has been published as a book, an inspirational book, called What Now? And we will talk with her, and we will talk with you, too. Maybe you have some advice for the college graduates this year, or the high school graduates, for that matter. It's that season, too. Is there anything that you know now that you wish you knew then? What's your advice to the graduating class of 2008? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are very happy to have with us Ann Patchett, the author of several books, including The Patron Saint of Liars, Bel Canto, and Run. She has also written for many publications such as The Washington Post, The Atlantic, Gourmet, Vogue, Harper's Magazine, and The New York Times Magazine. She is author of the recently published What Now? And she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you were asked to give this commencement address at your alma mater, and what you came up with was not what you first drafted, right?
Well, what I came up with in the end, yes, I wrote a really terrible commencement speech, and I showed it to an old teacher of mine, my friend Alan Gerganis, and he told me it was terrible and sent me back to write exactly the kind of speech which I didn't want to write.
Why not?
Well, you know, I thought, oh, this is what everybody talks about, my time in college and how it was for me, and it seemed kind of cute and simple. And he said, no, that's actually what people want. He said, the most important thing is to be funny, to be yourself, to be entertaining. And I was trying to be sort of grand and large. So I dumped grand and large and went for myself.
Yeah. You know, I was invited to give a speech to my alma mater, the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. And I had to turn it down. Number one, I'm a shy person. But number two, I didn't think I had any good advice for the graduating
seniors. How shy could you be? You have a radio show.
I know, but radio people are shy. But seriously, I think I could have tried to, but it was more that I didn't know really that I had anything to say that these kids would care about. But this was not a boring speech. It was an inspirational speech.
I think that it's probably true for all of us that the things that seem boring to us, in other words, the things that we really have down cold in our own life that we completely understand, are the things that we should be talking about. We take it for granted. We know it so well. We think, oh, this must be boring. Everybody would know this. But I think especially for young people, those are the exact things we should be talking about.
Yeah. And your message in that speech to the graduates was what?
Well, it's all about the ride, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, that you feel the sense of panic in your life, especially when you're young. Although my point is, I think this is a book for people of every age. We feel this sense of panic all throughout our life, and that is, what am I going to do next? What's next? What's coming? When I got my very first copy of this book, they sent me one that was just hot off the press, and my 86-year-old mother-in-law from Mississippi was here staying with us, and I gave it to her. I love my mother-in-law. And she said, she read it and she said, oh, you know, I'm going to give this to all my friends because we're going through such a what now period of our life. Mm-hmm. And my point is, it's always going to be this way and you might as well enjoy it. You might as well be empowered by the fact that your life is open. You do have choices and possibilities. And really, we should worry when everything is set in stone and not when things are still flexible.
Yeah. In a way, it's maybe you don't need to have that outline. You don't need to have that plan.
Well, or even if you do have that plan, it doesn't make any difference because it's not going to go that way.
We'll talk more about the plan and what now with Ann Patchett. Her book is What Now? It's based on a commencement speech that she delivered in front of her alma mater, Sarah Lawrence College, in 2006. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Maybe you have some advice for the graduating seniors. Graduation this weekend in Wisconsin, many UW campuses, UW-Madison and Milwaukee, Green Bay, La Crosse, and many others. What would you tell these graduating seniors? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about graduation. It's a commencement season, college graduation and high school graduation, talking about meeting the real world, talking about what now? What do we do now? Our guest, Ann Patchett, she is a best-selling author, and this book is based on a commencement speech that she gave before her alma mater. And we're welcoming your thoughts, your celebration of commencement, your reminiscences, your memories of commencement, maybe even the advice that you would give the graduating class of 2008. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. And I wanted to talk to you about What Now and the story that is your story. You ended up being a kind of lonely college freshman when you first started college, and it was a stove that didn't work that ended up changing your life in many ways.
That's true, and it was fortunately pretty early on in my freshman year. I decided to bake some cookies for my advisor, and I went and bought all the stuff. There was a ratty little kitchen in my dorm. And when I had everything put together, the oven didn't work, and I was very shy. Speaking of shy, I've gotten over a lot of it, but I thought, I have to do something to pull myself out of this. So I took the pans of raw cookie dough, and I went across the street and knocked on the door of this giant house that turned out to be the president's house, and I had no idea, the president of the college, not the president of the country. And she had just started her job. It was her first year president of Sarah Lawrence. Alice Ilchman opens the door and lets me in to use her oven and bake the cookies. And because of that, I wound up getting a job babysitting for her daughter, and then I wound up getting a job cooking for her dinner parties. And they really took me in and welcomed me to their home, which was what I wanted. I think that's what kids want when they go off to college. They're lonely. They miss their mother. And that was a wonderful thing for me.
So you got a family then.
I did.
And of all things, the president of the college. That's really something. But it turns out then that and she became a really lifelong friend for you.
She did. Mm-hmm. And actually, I was in New York last week and had dinner with her daughter, who has also remained a great friend of mine. I was very fortunate.
Yeah. The talk a little bit, too, about how that that experience, I mean, that setting became some inspiration for you in terms of some of the books you wrote.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The house it really was a mansion, especially by my country girl standards. And after I would put Sarah to sleep when she was a little girl, I would walk around the house and look at all the rooms. And they had a china closet in this house, which I had never seen before, which was just this big pantry full of, you know, 10 different sets of china with a place setting of 24 and all the little cups up on hooks. It was mesmerizing to me. And years later, when I was working on Bel Canto, which was about hostage takeover in a giant embassy home, I decided to set it in that house, and the characters would meet at night at the China Closet. And the point of the story is you never know what you're learning. I mean, education doesn't just take place in the classroom. And there are all sorts of things that happen in our lives that we need to really pay attention to. One of the things I stress in this book is the importance of being a good listener and a good observer, because you just never know what you're going to need later on.
Yeah, and to not be afraid to talk to strangers either, like the story you had about the young man you met at the airport when you were lost.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Also, when I was in college, I got lost in Chicago O'Hare. And, of course, this was a long time ago. I graduated from college in 1984, and when everybody was allowed to roam the airports freely. And I was walking back and forth and back and forth, and finally a young man came up to me and said, "Are you lost?" And I think everybody's been lost in O'Hare. And I said yes, and he said he would walk me to the gate. He looked at my ticket, and I was in the wrong terminal. And while we were walking and he was carrying my suitcase for me, it turns out he was a Hare Krishna who was not dressed as a Hare Krishna. And I, of course, was terrified. I had come out of 12 years of Catholic girls' school, and nothing could be scarier than a Hare Krishna. So funny, because the story is so dated and seems so naive now. You know, the worst thing that he would have done would have been to try to talk me into becoming a vegetarian. But he was a lonely guy, because everybody was running away from him, and nobody wanted to listen to his message, which was really just a message about loving God. You know, he wasn't even trying to sign me up for anything, but he was just saying, love people, love God, you know, be a good, gentle person in the world. And my fear was not appropriate at that point. And I think how far we've come in terms of not listening to people. And we're often taught not to listen to people as a method of safety. And I'm beginning to think that the world would be a safer place, in fact, if we did stop and listen and talk to more people.
Yeah. So you graduate. You wanted to be a writer. You wanted to be a novelist from the
get-go. I did. Crazy kid that I was.
You wanted to write that all-American novel. But you graduate and you end up, is that when you started working for TGIF?
Oh, no, the road wasn't even that level. I actually went to work as a line cook first.
Oh, there we go.
And did that for a while because I thought, I don't want a job where I'm going to be using my mind. This was my 21-year-old logic. Mm-hmm. I want to keep my mind free for writing. And so I'll just do a physical job during the day, and then I'll come home at night and write. Of course, what happens is you're so completely decimated by this physical labor that when you get home at night, you're not going to do anything but fall face down on the bed. So after I burned myself one day cleaning out the steam tray, I decided to go to graduate school. And it was really after graduate school and trying again to get out and matriculate into society that I wound up being a waitress. So weirdly enough, those cookies that I baked at the president's house did me more good than a lot of the classes that I took, because I had some notion of food service.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a great novelist, and I turned out to be a great waitress. And then later on, I turned out to be, you know, a pretty good novelist. And the point is, it's just not a straight line. And you have to be at peace with that. If you fight yourself and you fight your path and you're disappointed in yourself and you say, oh, look at me, I've got all of this education, I finished graduate school and I'm a waitress, well, you know, maybe that's how you have to get to where you're going.
Yeah, and sometimes we don't recognize the lessons until they are long past.
Absolutely. I say at one point in the book that getting an education is like a snake swallowing a chicken egg. It's in there, but it takes a while to digest.
Yeah,
that makes me sound very folksy and Southern when I say something like that.
It's a true story. It's that you don't your fate can be changed or your life can be changed by missing that bus. In a way, some of your stories are like that.
Absolutely, I think that that's true. Robert Frost, you know, two paths diverge in yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel them both. But every time we take a fork in the road, I think we should be excited about it, even if it doesn't seem like the right one at the time. I have such a lovely life, and I have to look back and say it must have been shaped by washing dishes in restaurants as much as it was studying Shakespeare in college.
Mm-hmm. Shelley from Madison sends this email. I'm a recent graduate, and I find it funny how high school prepares you for college life, but college does not prepare you for the daily routine of work. No one warns you that if you work from 9 to 5, you'll have difficulty getting to banks or running errands. Also, as a college student, I walked everywhere. Now I'm a commuter. There are all these lifestyle changes after college that I didn't expect. Why didn't anyone clue me in on that?
Because they just didn't want to break your heart. They wanted you to have a few more happy years. She's so right, and I am so lucky. My husband is a doctor, and he goes to work at 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning, and comes home at 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night. And I work at home. And so if the stove breaks, I'm here. If FedEx needs a signature, I'm here. If the dog needs to go out, I'm here. And I am so struck by how lucky we are. I don't know how people manage when there's not someone at home, because it just takes so much to run your life. Everybody needs a wife.
Yeah.
A 1950s mythologized wife who's going to vacuum and bake and keep the machine of your own personal world going. And when you're out of the house all day, it's really hard.
Beth in Milwaukee, another email. I would advise the liberal art graduates that their job search might require more creativity than, say, an occupational therapy graduate, and not to get discouraged. In my case, I graduated with a BA in history, but ended up obtaining an entry-level position that I have been diligent in and dependable with, and I volunteer with organizations to expose me to all kinds of opportunities. And what do you think?
I think that's wonderful, and I applaud her for her degree in history. I think a lot of people poo-poo the liberal arts education. When I speak in schools, which I do a lot, I have kids come up to me and say, you know, I wanted to study art history, and I wanted to study philosophy, and my parents told me I had to study accounting. Mm-hmm. And I think that a liberal arts education teaches us how to think and teaches us how to be resourceful and creative and use our minds. And if you know how to use your mind and you know how to be curious in life, you're going to be successful.
We are talking with Ann Patchett. She's a best-selling author, many different books. Her latest book is based on a commencement speech that she gave. It's called What Now? And we talk about what now as it is graduation season in Wisconsin. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Friday, May the 16th. What's the best piece of advice that you would give the students who are getting their diplomas this weekend? It's graduation weekend at many of the University of Wisconsin campuses. What advice would you be giving those graduating students? What do you wish you knew when you graduated that you know now? What is the best advice you did get from someone, be it at your graduation or some other time, that really shaped your life? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I hope you join in as we try to give some advice to the graduating class of 2008. UW-Madison and Milwaukee and La Crosse and Green Bay all holding commencement ceremonies this weekend. Probably many other campuses, colleges, universities. It is graduation season, and we are talking about those graduation speeches that that are given at this time of year with a woman who gave a graduation speech at her alma mater, Sarah Lawrence College. It is now been turned into a book, What Now? Ann Patchett is our guest. Ann Patchett is an acclaimed novelist, author of many books, including The Patron Saint of Liars, Bel Canto, and Run. She's written for many publications. And again, is the author of this recently published book based on that commencement speech, What Now? We welcome your thoughts and questions for her as well. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And by telling your story, Ann Patchett, you in essence are saying, be a good listener, be a good observer. Don't be afraid to knock on doors.
Right.
What else?
And don't think that everything's all set out, that, you know, you're 18 years old or 22 years old and you've got a plan. I think that people get so disappointed in themselves when things don't go the way they think they're going to go. They didn't get into the school they wanted. They didn't get the job or the internship they wanted. And they feel like a failure. And I think that when you're young, you just don't have any idea how long life is going to go on. Mm-hmm. And that there are lots and lots of opportunities to fail and to succeed. And a lot of times the success comes out of the failure. I'm a big believer in the old lotto motto, which is, you know, you don't win if you don't play. And I think that you have to just keep in the game, and you're going to lose a lot of things, but you're also going to win if you stay engaged. If you don't try, if you don't keep going up to bat, you're never going to win. Yeah.
To the phones we go. Sandra in Eau Claire. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I wanted to say that the advice I always got was be happy and do what you enjoy doing. And that sounds really good, except that if you know, life happens along the way, and if you end up supporting a family or needing a job that has medical benefits, that isn't always what you can do. So I was sorely disappointed to have to go back to graduate school, get an education again in something that was saleable, and then maybe not do what my first love was. But of necessity, you need to do those things.
Yeah. Do you mind telling us, Sandra, what it is you wish you could have done because you loved it, but you couldn't make a living doing it?
My undergraduate degree was as a librarian and media specialist, and as you know, there's only one of those hired often for each school district. It's not like there's 10 or 15. So those jobs are few and far between. So while you're waiting for that, you need to live. So I ended up doing something different, which in the end I ended up loving, working with special ed kids. So that was all right, but it took a lot of years.
Yeah. And?
Yeah, but that's, I think, exactly what we're talking mm-hmm. about. You know, you go through that disappointment, you don't get what you want, and then that disappointment leads you to something else, and it's a good story. It's a happy ending as long as you wind up doing something that you love. And I think a lot of us have to go out and get jobs that we didn't love to support our kids and support our families. And so then maybe the thing that you really are loving are the kids and the families. You know,
yeah, and that's true. So it worked out okay. But yeah, there were several years with no medical insurance that I sure wouldn't want to go through again.
Oh, that's the most terrifying thing in the world.
Yeah.
My parents used to always say to me, if you don't have medical insurance, it's not you who's going to get wiped out. It's us, because you don't have anything.
No. You know, Sandra, that reminds me of, I gave that piece of advice to my graduating nephew last summer when he graduated. He's a jazz musician and a drama theater lover. And, you know, I was like, you know, pursue that. Do what you love. But it's it's hard for him to make any money doing what he loves. And I feel like I just kind of gave him trite advice. My sister, of all things, his mother said, you need to go to graduate school to get something like you mentioned in the first half hour. You need to go get your accounting degree or something like that.
Right. My father always pushed me to be a dental hygienist. He always said, you want to be a novelist, but you're going to have something to fall back on. And I think that was what was so lucky for me, I never really wanted anything. I was very content to be poor and to be a waitress. Mm-hmm. The thing that I loved was writing, and it was so important to me that I really was willing to live like a mouse because I was going to do what I wanted to do.
Yeah. Thank you, Sandra, for the call. Joan in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. We are celebrating our 60th high school reunion this month.
Oh, congratulations.
Your talking reminds me of the graduation speech back in high school, back in the Dells that I was supposed to give. And back in those days, the principal told you what you should talk about, and mine was housing. And I wrote this speech, and I thought, this isn't what I want to say. So the night before graduation, I threw it away, and heaven knows I wrote a speech, and I gave it the next night without showing it to anyone. And when I went through the graduation line, since I was in the beginning of the line, the mayor wouldn't talk to me. They walked past me, but my father, this old curmudgeon, came up and he gave me a hug and he said, I never knew you had it in you. And he gave me a kiss, and he never did this. He was 52 when he got married, and almost, 72, 75, 80. And, but the man they had giving the speech after me from Madison, he said, well, there's not much more for me to say. Your graduate speaker already said it. So he gave me this positive approach. But what I said was, you keep telling us we listen to speeches every year by the adults. It's up to you young people to go out into the world and change things. And I said, I went down to the city hall and found out what your voting record was, and only 28% of this town voted. I think maybe the adults need to do something so that we wouldn't have the kind of tragedy we had where a young mother did horrible things so that she wouldn't be disgraced as having a baby out of wedlock. And
Joan, sounds like that was a scandalous thing.
They didn't build they didn't have time to build a recreation center for the children there. So what did they do? They went over to out of town to beer taverns. And I said, we aren't at a position yet to do something, but you adults are. And if I have any advice to young people is read, listen to State Station. We were followers of WHA. I said, listen to the radio and get both sides of issues and be there to change the world. And this was during the communist scare, and I brought in all of that stuff, and good heavens.
How was that received, Joan?
Well, the mayor was angry. people who were involved, the Fighting Bob type people who wanted to have change, were very much for me, but I was Badger Girls State, and yeah. I guess that we learned how government worked, we thought.
Yeah, and Joan, I'm sorry to cut you short, but we have our weather break time coming up, and I wonder, Ann Patchett, just a message of be politically aware and active, it sounds like.
Well, I think anybody who stands up in a speech and says vote mm-hmm. is saying the most important thing that they can, and I think we, as a nation, get away from that again and again. We think that our voice doesn't matter, and it does. So I think that Joan's bringing us a great message. If you're the one getting up and giving the talk, say something that matters. And if you're not, vote.
Yeah. Ann Patchett, our guest, her latest book, and she has many books, novels, is a book based on a commencement address that she gave at her alma mater, Sarah Lawrence College. It's called What Now? And we talk with her about advice to graduating seniors as it is commencement season. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Do you have advice to the graduating seniors? Do you wish you knew something then that you know now? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Friday, May the 16th. Congratulations and best wishes to all of the seniors who will be collecting their diplomas this weekend at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and Milwaukee and Green Bay and La Crosse. And I hope I didn't miss any. It is commencement season, and we are talking about the advice that you would give the graduating class of 2008. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We have a couple of open lines. What's the matter? Don't you have any advice for the young people of today? Ann Patchett, our guest, she is the author of the book, What Now? The book is based on a commencement address that she gave at Sarah Lawrence College. And Ann Patchett, someone who always wanted to be a novelist and who is a very successful novelist. You might know her books, The Patron Saint of Liars, Bel Canto, and Run. Our next caller is Karen in Cambridge. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I've got a comment and a just also a bit of advice. The comment I'd like to say that I'm a music teacher, and I'm married to an interpreter, so I really enjoyed the book Bel Canto.
Oh, right up your alley, yeah.
Oh, yes, it was wonderful. And I've lived overseas, so I have lots of, you know, kind of connections to that book.
Thank you.
The other thing was the graduation speech that I remember the most was not one that I was the graduate, but I was both the year before I graduated from college. And it was a friend of mine who was the speaker of the class. And it was a very funny speech, but he said, the gist of it was, it's not, are we coming up with the right answers, but are we coming up with the right questions?
I like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it was like, what is important in our life? What are we thinking about that is the most important thing? Not are we just always answering other people, but are we coming up with the right questions ourselves? And as a teacher, I find that very helpful. It's like, am I asking my students the right questions? Not are they coming up with the right answers?
Right, right. Well, it's all a matter of, am I going to take initiative? Am I going to put things out there, or am I going to spend my life responding?
Right, exactly. Am I an initiator or just a follower?
Mm-hmm. Right. When I'm out of town and I come home and I have stacks of mail and email and phone calls, and I always think, I can't initiate, I can only respond.
Mm-hmm. So true. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad you liked the book.
Thank you. I'm enjoying the show.
Yeah, thank you very much, Karen, for the call. Susan in Shell Lake. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I just want to say I absolutely love Bel Canto, first of all. And secondly, I have a story to tell about our daughter who was in college. Her older sister was encouraging her to quit because there was a bad job market and it's hard to find a job in your field, et cetera, and go to tech school. And we said, no, please finish, follow your heart. What's your favorite subject? She said, French. And we thought, oh, God, French. But we said it, so she got her French degree. Of course, didn't find a job. Went to work for Head Start and loved it, but there's no money. And then put herself into a nine-month course in a tech school for computers to get a job in the big company in her town. Got the job, and it turned out they needed an interpreter.
So there you go.
She got into French, and eventually they placed her in France.
Oh, that's a wonderful story.
Living in France, happy, happy, happy.
Well, follow your heart. I mean, that's just a great, great story, and I admire you as a parent for letting her follow her heart, because it's amazing how many parents seem to squash their children's dreams and say, oh, no, you know, you've got to go on a strictly practical road. And I look at my own life as a novelist, which is, just one step down from saying I'm going to go to Hollywood and be a movie star in terms of stupid career moves. But, gosh, you know, I've had a very, very nice and successful life. So you never know. The French could lead you to happiness.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Yeah, I mean, that sounds a lot like your message. You might find that dream that you've always had, but you might have a few detours along the way.
Exactly. It's a circuitous route.
Yeah. Stephanie in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm so enjoying the show. I wasn't going to call in. I was just going to hang back and listen, but I couldn't help, thinking that it's been so many years. I'm now in my late 50s, but looking back, I think at that college age, I think my biggest thing was feeling really hemmed in and really being pulled by the expectations of the outer culture and the family, things like, you know, you're nobody unless you've graduated from college and you want to be a waitress the rest of your life, this sort of thing. And if you can get beyond that, and like you said, don't push anything, just be open to what's, you know, going to be happening. Follow, you know, what it is you want to do, but not being so hemmed in by expectations. And there's a song I'm thinking of, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with.
Mm-hmm.
Love wherever you're at. There's always something you can learn, you can find interesting. If you don't get hung up in terms of what other people think and how they're going to judge you. There's a woman who made a movie about being a waitress. It's something like that. I can't think of the title. Something to the effect of, "Did you say you Thousand Island?" She made this movie. She had this really strong urge to make this movie because she was a waitress and she was tired of people putting down her life. Being a waitress takes skill, and it's very interesting. I mean, there's some, you know, when you're not caught up in, you know, it's hard. And it's hard to fight the culture. It really is sometimes.
Yes.
But you know, if you can just try to get above it as much as you can and get support from other people. Just trusting yourself, I think, too. It makes life a lot easier. And also gratitude. I mean, I heard you say, I have a lovely life, and boy, this is a grateful lady. So thank you. I so enjoy this show.
Yeah, thank you very much,
thank
Stephanie.
You. You know, I was talking to my best friend last night. And this is my best friend from second grade. And when she was in her first semester of college, she got really sick and she had to drop out. We're both 44 now. She's had an incredibly successful life. She's a naturalist. She writes books about native plants in different states. She runs this nature conservancy. She's been so successful at everything she does. And she keeps saying, I need to go back to college. I need to go back to college. And I said to her last night, you know, you don't. Maybe you need to go into therapy for a little while because she's just ashamed that she doesn't have a college degree. She's the most successful person I know. But I said it would be such a waste for you at this point to take those years off and drop out of your life where you're doing so many great things just because you feel embarrassed and you don't have the degree everybody else has. You always have a better job, a more interesting life. You're following your heart. You're doing exactly what you want to do. But just, you know, when somebody says at a cocktail party, where did you go to school? She doesn't have an answer.
Mm-hmm. You know, I meant to ask, too, you, Anne, were fired from one of your jobs. I think your job as a cook, and that was a good thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That was the day that I burned myself. And the woman who owned the restaurant, who I don't think was crazy about me anyway, I couldn't chop vegetables very, very quickly. I was always really afraid of cutting my fingers off. And she took me aside and she said, you don't want to do this anymore. I'm firing you for your own safety. And she said, go to graduate school. That's what you need to be doing. And it was a great gift.
Yeah, that was good advice. Maria in Delafield, hi, you're on the air.
I have something similar to the last caller's comment, which is good advice I got from my mother-in-law, and she's passing on to my son, which is be the best you can be at whatever you do. which is to say that I feel that kids have pressure to change the world on day one coming out of school.
Yes.
And my point is that, you know, we do need people who collect the trash. We do need people who work in the grocery stores, who wait the tables, who, you know, do the, you know, the manual jobs. And we also need presidents and CEOs. And you don't get to be the presidents and the CEOs without being the best at the grocery store, the best trash collector, and working your way up.
Yeah,
so don't feel the pressure to be number one on day one. Know that you're going to start out at the bottom of the pole and work your way up and learn along the way. Just be the best you can be at those other jobs. You don't know which job it is that you're working that is going to be the one that's going to open the world up for you.
Exactly.
That is so true and so important. And there's actually a whole part of the book that I talk about this. I get so disgusted that it's always leadership seminars, mm-hmm. and we're going to teach your children how to be the leaders of the world. Not all of us are going to be leaders. Very few people are going to be leaders. Let's promote programs that teach us how to work well with other people, mm-hmm. and how to work well as a community. It's not right that everybody should feel like they have to be out in front all the time.
And I have to jump in. I'm so sorry. We're out of time. The calls are just flooding in right now, too. So you touched a nerve. Ann, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Ann Patchett, author of What Now? Thanks to Carmen Jackson for producing the hour and to Michelle Kofel for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network.